All right, everybody, think about this for a second. Imagine you're sitting in the doctor's office and they drop some heavy news like, you've got HIV.
Oh, wow. Talk about life-changing, right?
Absolutely. I mean, the emotional impact, it would be massive. But now imagine finding out that diagnosis was totally wrong, a complete mistake.
Oof. I can't even imagine the emotional roller coaster there.
Exactly. So the question is, could you actually sue for the emotional distress caused by that incorrect information, even if you never actually had the illness? Like, is that even a thing legally?
That's the really fascinating question we're diving into today.
So we're taking a deep dive into a specific case from the Ohio Supreme Court, Heiner v. Moratuzzo.
Yep, Heiner v. Moratuzzo. This case is super important because it really clarifies when you can actually make a legal claim for emotional distress, particularly in situations where there's no actual physical harm.
Because you would think that, you know, you'd have to have some kind of physical injury to be able to sue, right?
You would think so, but that's not always the case. And this case really dives into that whole gray area.
Okay, so for our listeners out there, especially you law students, this is going to be a deep dive. We're going to unpack what happened in the Heiner case, how it went through the courts, you know, all the legal back and forth, and the key legal concepts that the Ohio Supreme Court used to make its decision.
We'll also look at why the justices on the Supreme Court didn't all agree, because there's always some disagreement.
Right. There's always that one, or in this case, a couple.
Yeah, exactly. We'll try to figure out what the majority opinion was getting at and what the dissent was thinking, too.
And ultimately, we'll explore what this whole case means for how emotional distress is viewed under the law in Ohio going forward.
And maybe even beyond Ohio, because this kind of issue, you know, the tension between emotional harm and the potential for, I don't know, maybe too many lawsuits, it's something that comes up all over the place.
Right, because on the one hand, you have the real pain and suffering that people go through because of negligence, but then you have the legal system trying to make sure it's fair and doesn't get bogged down with, I guess, frivolous claims.
Right, exactly. It's a balancing act, for sure.
So let's jump into the situation at the heart of this case. What exactly happened to Ms. Heiner?
Well, it all started when Ms. Heiner, she went to Akron General Medical Center to get tested for HIV.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you get that test and you wait for the results. It's a stressful time, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Just the waiting is tough enough.
For sure. And then in this case, the initial test results came back positive. So she was told, you have HIV.
Wow. Just like that.
Yep. And as you can imagine, getting news like that, it's incredibly distressing. I mean, it can be life altering in so many ways.
I mean, this is back when, you know, the stigma around HIV was, I'd say, even more intense than it is today.
For sure. Way more intense. It was just, you know, a really tough time to get that kind of diagnosis.
So you can only imagine what she was going through emotionally.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And she actually ended up going through counseling to try and cope with the news and the stress and the fear.
Right. It's not just the diagnosis itself. It's all the potential consequences, you know, the impact on your life, your relationships, everything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So she's dealing with all of that, the emotional trauma of thinking she has HIV.
Right. And then, of course, there's the twist. There's always a twist.
Oh, yeah, there's a big twist here. Because guess what? Further testing showed that the initial positive result, it was wrong. It was a false positive. Mrs. Heiner did not have HIV.
So all that time, all that stress, all that counseling, it was for nothing, based on a mistake.
Pretty much, yeah. She went through this entire emotional ordeal, all because of a wrong diagnosis. It just shows how much weight a medical diagnosis can carry, you know?
Especially in a case like this, where the diagnosis carries so much stigma and fear with it.
Right. And that brings us to the legal part of the story.
Right. Because after all of that, she decided to sue.
Right. Yeah. She sued the hospital and the doctors involved, claiming what's called negligent infliction of emotional distress. We call it NIED for short.
So she's basically arguing, hey, you guys messed up big time, and because of your mistake, I went through all this emotional turmoil. You owe me something for that.
Yeah. That's the gist of it. She's saying, your negligence caused me serious harm, even though it wasn't physical harm.
Interesting. So how did this case play out in the courts?
Well, first it went to the trial court. And there, the judge, they actually sided with the defendants, the hospital, and the doctors. They granted what's called a summary judgment, which basically means they decided, look, even if everything Ms. Heiner is saying is true under the law as it stands, she can't win this case.
So it was like the judge was saying, we don't even need a full trial to figure this out. The law is pretty clear on this.
Yeah, that's basically it. But Mrs. Heiner, she didn't give up.
Good for her. Yeah. So she appealed, right?
Exactly. She took the case to the Court of Appeals, hoping they'd overturn the trial court's decision. But unfortunately for her, the Court of Appeals also ruled against her. They agreed with the trial court and upheld the summary judgment.
So now she's lost twice.
Two strikes, yeah.
But she still had one more option, right? The Ohio Supreme Court.
Right. And that's exactly where she went next. The Ohio Supreme Court is the highest court in the state, and they have the final say on legal matters in Ohio. So that's where Mrs. Heiner went to try to get justice, to try to get her case heard.
And this is where it gets really interesting, legally speaking, because the Ohio Supreme Court had to grapple with a pretty fundamental legal question.
Yeah, they did.
What was the big question that they were asked to decide in this case?
Okay, so the main issue before the court was this. Does Ohio law, as it is written, actually allow a person to sue for NID? That's negligent infliction of emotional distress, if the distress comes purely from fear of a physical danger that didn't actually materialize.
So in Mrs. Heiner's case, she was terrified of having HIV, but she didn't actually have it.
Exactly.
So the court had to decide, can you sue just for that fear, even though the danger wasn't real?
Right. That was the core legal dilemma in this whole case. And to understand why they ruled the way they did, we needed to take a step back and look at the legal precedents in Ohio.
Right, because Supreme Courts, they don't just make decisions out of thin air. They rely on past cases and what those cases have said about the law.
Exactly. It's all about building on what's come before. And in Ohio, the law around NIED has got a long history, and it's been kind of evolving over time.
Okay, so let's go back in time a bit. What were some of the key precedents that the court considered?
Well, there's a really foundational case called Miller v. Baltimore and Ohio SWRR Co. This one's from way back in 1908. And Miller set a pretty strict standard. It basically said that you had to have an actual physical injury alongside the emotional distress to be able to sue for NIE dry.
So under Miller, if you were, let's say, really scared by something someone did negligently, but you weren't physically hurt, you couldn't sue for emotional distress.
Pretty much, yeah. It was a pretty tough rule.
But over time, the law started to change, right?
Yeah.
Became a bit more lenient.
Yep. Things started to shift in the 1980s. And one of the key cases that expanded the law a bit is Schultz v. Barberton Glasgow. That was decided in 1983.
So what did Schultz say? How did it change things?
Well, in Schultz, the court said that you could sue for NIED even without a physical injury, but only in specific situations. It had to be for people who were directly involved in a negligent accident. So even if you weren't physically hurt in the accident, the fact that you were right there in the thick of it, that was enough to allow you to sue for emotional distress.
Okay, so a step in a more flexible direction.
Right. And then we have another important case from the same year, 1983, Paul v. Hanks.
Ah, Paul v. Hanks. Now, okay. This one is all about the bystander rule, isn't it?
Yeah, got it. Paul established what we call the bystander rule. This rule basically says that if you're a bystander and you witness a traumatic event, like a really bad accident that hurts or kills a close relative, you can sue for emotional distress even if you weren't physically injured yourself.
Which makes sense, right? I mean, seeing a loved one get hurt or killed, that can be just as traumatic as being physically injured yourself.
Absolutely. The court recognized that. They saw how witnessing something horrific can cause serious and lasting emotional damage.
So we've got Miller, which required a physical injury. Then Schultz, which expanded things a bit for those directly involved in an accident. And then Paw, which introduced the bystander rule. Where does Binns v. Friedendahl fit into all of this?
Okay, so Binns came along in 1987, and it sort of clarified the connection to physical injury. It essentially said that if you did have physical injuries from an accident, you could sue for emotional distress related not only to your own injuries, but also to the injuries or death of another person in the same accident.
Okay, so that makes sense. So the physical injury, in a way, it opens the door for a broader claim for emotional distress.
Yeah, you could say that. It kind of anchors the claim. But the important thing here is that in Binns, the emotional distress related to someone else's injuries, it didn't have to be super severe, like in Pawtucket.
So those are the big legal precedents that were on the table when the Ohio Supreme Court took on Mrs. Heiner's case. So what did they decide?
Well, in the end, the Ohio Supreme Court, in a decision written by Justice Douglas, they decided in favor of the hospital. They upheld the lower court's decisions.
So they said Mrs. Heiner couldn't sue for NIED.
Yep, that's right.
Okay, so what was their logic? Why did they rule against her?
The core of their reasoning was this. Mrs. Heiner's emotional distress, it was real, no doubt, but it came from fear of something that never actually happened. She never actually had HIV. And the court made a really sharp distinction between being afraid of something that might happen and actually being in real physical danger.
So for them, the key was that the threat wasn't real.
Exactly. They basically said, look, Ohio law recognizes NID claims in two main situations.
Okay, what are those situations?
First, when there's a physical injury that happens at the same time as the emotional distress. And second, when someone is aware of actual physical peril.
So like being in a car accident or being exposed to, say, toxic chemicals.
Exactly. Situations where the danger is real and immediate. And in Mrs. Heiner's case, the court said, nope, she wasn't in actual physical danger because she never actually had HIV. So her situation didn't fit either of those categories.
I see. So even though the misdiagnosis caused her a lot of distress, they didn't consider that enough to allow her to sue.
Right.
It seems like the court was kind of worried about opening the floodgates, you know? If they allowed her to sue in this case, then anyone who was ever misdiagnosed, even if it didn't lead to actual harm, could potentially sue, right?
Yeah, that was a big concern they had. They were worried that if they broadened the law too much, it could lead to a ton of lawsuits based on fear, even when there was no real danger.
And did they actually say that in their opinion?
Oh, yeah, they did. They specifically said the claimed negligent diagnosis never placed appellant in real physical peril.
Yeah.
So they were really emphasizing that there was no actual threat to her physical safety.
And they also said, we declined to expand the law to permit recovery on these facts.
Right. They were pretty clear about that. They weren't going to change the law based on this case. But of course, as you mentioned, not all the justices agreed.
Right. There was a dissenting opinion, wasn't there?
Yep. Justice Resnick, she wrote the dissent.
What was her take on the case?
Well, Justice Resnick argued that the basic principles of negligence, you know, duty, breach, causation, damages, all of that, she thought those principles should be flexible enough to handle cases like this. She wasn't a fan of this whole real danger requirement.
She didn't think it was necessary.
Right. She thought it was kind of an artificial barrier.
So for her, the fact that the hospital messed up, that was enough.
Exactly. She saw the misdiagnosis as a clear breach of duty. It was negligence, plain and simple. And she thought that the emotional distress that followed, it was a direct result of that negligence. It was foreseeable. So she thought it should have been up to a jury to decide whether the hospital was liable for that distress.
So she was putting more emphasis on the impact on Mrs. Heiner, the fact that she suffered real emotional harm because of the hospital's mistake.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. For her, it was less about preventing too many lawsuits and more about making sure that people who are genuinely harmed by negligence have a way to seek justice.
I see. So you had the majority saying, look, we need to draw a line here. Otherwise, the courts will be swamped with cases based on fear. And you have the dissent saying, hey, we shouldn't be so rigid. We need to consider the real harm that people suffer because of negligence.
Exactly. Two different perspectives on the same issue, which is what makes these kinds of cases so interesting.
Absolutely. So the Ohio Supreme Court, they sided with the hospital, right? What does that mean for Ohio law going forward? What's the impact of this decision?
Well, Heiner v. Mertuzzo really sets a precedent. It makes it clear that in Ohio, if you want to sue for NID, you generally have to show one of two things. Either you were physically injured or you were in real immediate physical danger because of someone's negligence. Just being afraid of something that didn't happen, even if the fear is reasonable, it's probably not going to be enough to win a case in Ohio.
So for medical misdiagnosis cases in particular, what does this mean?
Well, if you're in Ohio, and you're thinking about suing for emotional distress because of a misdiagnosis, this case is kind of a warning sign. You're probably going to need to show that the misdiagnosis actually put you in physical danger. Just being scared, even if it's really bad, might not cut it.
That's really important for people to know. It also shows how courts have to balance different interests, right? They want to make sure people can get justice for real harm, but they also have to worry about preventing too many lawsuits, which could clog up the system.
Yeah, for sure. It's a delicate balance. In this case, it really highlights that tension. It makes you think about where we draw the line between genuine emotional suffering that deserves legal recognition and the need to keep the legal system functioning smoothly.
Right, because on the one hand, you don't want to deny people who have truly been harmed the chance to seek justice. But on the other hand, you don't want to open the door to lawsuits for every little thing that causes someone stress or anxiety.
It's a tough question. No easy answers. And it's something that legal systems all over the world are grappling with.
Absolutely. So for our listeners out there, especially the law students, think about this. Heiner v. Mertuzzo, it's not just an Ohio case. It raises questions about how we as a society define and deal with emotional harm. and something that we're likely to keep debating for a long time to come.
Yeah, it's a conversation that's not going away anytime soon.
Exactly. So thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Heiner v. Mortuso. It's a complex case with implications that go far beyond the specifics of Ms. Heiner's situation. It's about the intersection of law, medicine, and human emotions. And it raises some really important questions about how we navigate the complexities of emotional harm in our legal system.
Well said. Thanks for having me. I always enjoy these deep dives.
Me too. And to our listeners, thanks for listening. Until next time.
See ya.